Hello, my friends. It's Andy coming to you live from Orange County, California with my love, Hedia.
Hello. Happy Sunday, everyone.
I got a box of Kleenex here because Hedia's going to need it. Why are you laughing?
Nothing.
What a day. Oh, my gosh. Those of you that watch Pastor Jack Hibbs with Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, we attend. We just got back. We got our church clothes on. Another amazing message. Just started Romans, yes. A Romans series that he says is going to last at least until Jesus comes or he dies of old age, is what he was saying, which was really funny. But today's message, I have so much to talk about, and I often say that I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry that sometimes it seems like it's all about us. But I just hope that sharing things that we've been going through, our relationship, how we met, the cancer, prostate, whatever it is, our past, our future, our now, just resonates with some of you that will either, you know, affirm whatever it is that you're thinking or convict you to go deeper into God's word.
Amen.
That sound okay?
Beautiful.
And so I'm going to read the devotional, but I'm surely, well, I don't know if it'll go off point and off message with this devotional, but I don't know even what to say. I have a question for Hedy I'm going to ask, and it's just something that's been on my mind lately because I've kind of feel this way, but I'll save that. That's a little teaser for later on. So let's get into the devotional. Go to livingfearlessdevotional.com. That's where you'll go to Apple Podcast and please give it 5 stars and give a review of God and how great he is. Cause that would be awesome to get a few more reviews in there. Oh, I got to put up another thing too. I can't forget. Remind me to put up Kent's book.
Sure.
He's launching it today. All right. So let's go to the devotional. I'm Andy. She's Hedia. And we are going to be reading from My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And I don't know what I'm fiddling around there with the wrong thing. But April 11th. And the title is Complete and Effective Divinity. The reference is Romans 6:5. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Co-resurrection. The proof that I have experienced crucifixion with Jesus is that I have a definite likeness to him. The spirit of Jesus entering me rearranges my personal life before God. The resurrection of Jesus has given him the authority to give the life of God to me. And the experiences of my life must now be built on the foundation of his life. I can have the resurrection life of Jesus here and now, and it will exhibit itself through holiness. The idea all through the Apostle Paul's writings is that after the decision to be identified with Jesus in his death has been made, the resurrection life of Jesus penetrates every bit of my human nature. It takes the omnipotence of God, his complete and effective divinity, to live the life of the Son of God in human flesh. The Holy Spirit cannot be accepted as a guest in merely one room of the house. He invades all of it. And once I decide that my old man, that is my heredity of sin, should be identified with the death of Jesus, the Holy Spirit invades me. He takes charge of everything. My part is to walk in the light and to obey all that he reveals to me. Once I have made that important decision about sin, it is easy to reckon that I am actually dead indeed to sin because I find the life of Jesus in me all the time. Just as there is only one kind of humanity, there is only one kind of holiness, the holiness of Jesus. And it is his holiness that has been given to me, but God, the holiness of his Son into me, and I belong to a new spiritual order. So, first of all, omnipotence.
Always present.
Excuse me. We had a little sushi, and I think one of the sesame seeds got stuck in my throat.
Little dingy thingies in there.
I threw it in there. So, omnipotence, always present, always around. Your sleep, your when you're good, when you're bad, he doesn't leave you when even when you've said, "I hate you, God," which I have said in my lifetime. He's still there. He doesn't go anywhere. Yep. Right?
Yes.
Wow. So what's funny is, sorry. All right, this tissue's for me. I've had some kind of day with God. He has been working on my faucet, working on my plumbing in my face. Resurrection, right? Is that what the word that's used here?
Co-resurrection.
Co-resurrection hit me earlier today.
It did.
We talk about social media. We talk about I think yesterday, the message was he will approach you and appear, to you where you least expect it. And mine obviously was that Marriott in Salt Lake City in a conference room when I didn't expect it. So sorry. I'm going to cough through all one drink. And then a memory or a, what do they call it? A Facebook memory popped up of a year ago today. And I was speaking as a person who was still kind of like not comfortable talking about my faith, not talking about, you know, anything, about Christianity, about Jesus Christ, about the crucifixion. But a year ago today was, Silent Saturday?
Yeah.
Silent Saturday. I already forgot what it was. Silent Saturday, which is the day between, right, the crucifixion and his him rising out of the grave, them finding the tomb empty. And Silent Saturday, and you said you'd not heard that before, that expression.
No.
Yeah, and so it's a day of, I guess, of reflection, reflecting on, you know, the crucifixion. You have a quiet day of going, you know, what now? Is God real? Is Jesus Christ, you know, the Lord and Savior? And then on the next day, he is.
He is risen.
And so I had a message on because I was trying to make it, obviously, I was trying to make it more related to business owners because I have a mastermind group of business owners and budding authors and people that want to make online products and people that want to speak on stage. And so what I was trying to say, what are you going to do now? If you had all this in your past, whatever it was, you know, goodness, if you had tragedy, if you had a child that committed suicide, if you've gone through divorce, if you've gone through domestic violence, now here is your Silent Saturday to reflect on what it is you're going to do moving forward. How are you going to take everything that happened to you in your previous life and now use it for the glory of God? That's probably what I meant at the time. The message was, how are you going to use it to give a message, how to be an authority, how to be a help to somebody else, how to change somebody else's life. That was the message then. The message today is so different. And I did not know that it was God at that point working on me and preparing me for what was going to happen. That was my Silent Saturday for the rest of my life. It was that I was reminded of today.
Oh,
a year ago today.
That's beautiful.
It was my co-crucifixion.
That's awesome.
And now that I see that Oswald says here in the beginning, the proof that I have experienced crucifixion with Jesus is that I have a definite likeness to him. That phrase gives me permission now to say that, not like I did not feel comfortable saying it then. If you were to stomach going through it, it's not that easy. It wasn't easy for me to watch even 10 minutes of it. But the struggling to be able to say that then was that heresy what I'm about to say, mm-hmm. like that I felt crucified because I felt like, you know, you cannot compare to what Jesus Christ went through when he was still on the earth in his last moments. You can't compare that to anything that I've gone through. At least I didn't think I could. But now here Oswald is saying you can. Yeah, that could be your crucifixion. It doesn't have to be as painful necessarily physically, but it surely can be painful. It surely can be life altering. It could be the saddest, lowest part of your life, like the time that I stuck a gun in my mouth and began to pull the trigger back. It can be that moments away from dying and go to hell because I was about to take my own life, which is not accepted by God. Right?
No.
And so it's interesting that this devotional kind of started that way because Hetty and I had a conversation in the car on the way drive home from the church, which addressed this very thing. The memory came up. I said, hey, I don't know if you've ever seen this. Let me play you a little bit of it. And we had this whole discussion. And the only thing I want to send in regard to this devotional, what I have to say to hopefully help you, is that these are the moments in time that you may have to take a silent Saturday on Tuesday or a silent Saturday at some point and say, okay, now I've had enough of my old man who has taken me, you know, many dark places, wherever that is, you know, a bankruptcy, thought of, committing suicide. How can I go on after a spouse has died or a child has died? How can I go on after this divorce? How can I go on all the things, right?
Yes.
That you're going to have to sit down and say, all right, I know one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get into the Bible. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get into scripture more than 4 days a week. I can't do this on my own. I know you thought I did. I knew at that time a year ago that I thought that much of that stuff I could have got through on my own without God. But it wasn't until a few maybe weeks or months later on that I found Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. It was in May of last year. So this was in April, right? A year ago. And it was in May that I started asking God to be present, to be part of my life. Jesus, I just got done flying back from Salt Lake City and feeling Jesus' face. And that's the difference. The difference is that I allow God to be my ruler and leader. And I put him first before anything else. That's the difference. That's the change. That was my silent Saturday. Little did I know.
Ah.
You're going, there's a lot. You're very in.
Yes, I am.
Are you just like going, what are you talking about, dude?
Not at all.
Really?
Not at all.
But it's been, I've been bawling all day long. I mean, it started with worship at church and it hasn't stopped. I had to gather myself just to hit the live button. What are your thoughts? Is it?
One thing that occurs to me when whatever it is you've heard from God, whether it's through a devotional, it's through a sermon or through reading, is I am watching you. Like you have an audience as you're going through this. When I went through what you've gone through, because I have definitely had those moments and nobody was there.
Mm.
So I got to bawl my eyes out and cry and like look like, you know, just sobbing without an audience. So I realize it must be a lot more difficult for you because here's this woman like staring at you like, what's going on? You know, so I apologize to the extent that makes you uncomfortable. I can understand that because he said to me earlier, he's like, why are you staring at me? And I'm like, because I just love you. It's just amazing. It's really from my end, it's amazing to watch. So it's not that I think it's crazy. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful to watch. And I want so when I went through it, I journaled and I want to hear his spontaneous utterances of what he's experiencing. Doesn't necessarily share them, but that's what my eagerness is like, I want to hear your spontaneous utterance. Like, oh my God, I just had this blah, blah, blah. But I know it may not work that way. And we don't necessarily want to spontaneously utter them,
mm-hmm.
but it's just, it's very cool to watch you go through.
It is funny, but I'm so grateful. I mean, it's the gratefulness. When I was bawling on your shoulder at church, I looked like Zara on your shirt. It was just gratefulness. The prayer, which I think you left wanting more, was all I needed. I'm so grateful. There's nothing else going through my mind.
That's beautiful.
I'm just so grateful. I mean, I can just see how powerful, as long as, as long as we keep our eye on God, how powerful this period of time. And if we use it for the glory of God, how great it can be.
Amen.
In spite of what happens. Again, I'm not going to say that one of us might not, and I don't want to bring anything into us, but something bad might happen. Car crash, the cancer gets worse, whatever. But it's still, I think we've already seen that we were put to the test with the COVID, right? I was put to the test. You know, how are you going to respond when I'm going to give you like a couple seconds and you may be dead? How do you feel? It's like the time that was going to light his child on fire
Abraham.
But it's like that moment. Here you go. And then God reveals himself in some form or fashion.
Absolutely. Right?
That he's always going to be there, and having the faith that he's always going to be there. That's kind of what I felt on your shoulder. Like everything that Jack said today was exactly what I needed to hear to know that no matter what happens, no matter what horrible thing could try to mess the fantastic stuff that's been going on, it's not going to matter. Because we always got God.
Amen.
That's why I was bawling my eyes out. I'm going to tell you, Officer Abdul, that you may cry like me. First of all, Maureen says that was her first time there today.
And
how did you hear about Pastor Jack, Maureen? I know that we've been friends for a long time, but did you think about going there before? Have you been only watching online? What's your story with Jack? That'd be cool to know. Officer Abdul, you're going to have to read it.
Good afternoon. I just want to thank you guys for praying for me yesterday. Since I accepted Christ, I no longer have the pride to be little Democrats, and I'm not as mean to suspects as I have been. That is so beautiful. I actually want to speak to something about that. That's what I got out of the devotional. But let me read his second one too. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do when you receive the gift of salvation and believe what Jesus has done for you. It's incredible. God bless you both for showing me the truth, and God bless you too. Officer Abdul, I don't know how devout you were in Islam, but one of the things I learned in reading the book of Romans on my own, which is what our pastor is going through, and what's in this devotional about when you decide to die to sin and you experience Christ's holiness, is that no matter how devout I was in Islam, I was trying to do rituals to please God. I was not transforming in any way. Like, my personality did not get better. My character didn't improve. I just was an acrobat. Mm. I was just jumping through hoops, trying to earn favor of a God that I barely knew, you know, that I had a direct relationship with. And it's so different than this experience now where I hand my life over to Christ and he gives me the Holy Spirit, who rearranges all of my furniture and is invaded every room in my house. And it's just like, it's just miraculous to witness. Sometimes it's so, the change is so profound, I don't even recognize myself. Like, I have out-of-body experiences where I'm looking at this person that he's creating and I don't even recognize her, because I hope it's because it's so much more of the likeness of him or his righteousness that shines through, that it's not even familiar to me. And so I invite you, Abdul, and your son for a year or two to allow the Holy Spirit to take over and just watch your life miraculously change. And sometimes some of it's painful, but some of it's just extraordinary. I haven't felt anything like it. And I thought I was a devout worshiper. Of course, I know I was worshiping a false God, but I thought I was a devout believer of sorts, and I realized it's not that at all. And the interesting thing is that it doesn't mean we're free to behave any way we want. It's actually quite the opposite. So a lot of people outside the faith or even in Christianity don't realize it's not a license to sin. This free gift of salvation is basically inviting the Holy Spirit in for his power and the resurrection power to transform you. The expression co-resurrection is, I want to be resurrected in Christ, not a better version of me. I want to manifest Christ. And that's very different than saying, I want to be a better me. And I think that's where there's just so much power in it, even at our weakest. So Paul used to talks about this thorn in his flesh that he would pray to God to remove, and God wouldn't. And he said, my power is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul says, and therefore I will boast of my weakness all the more, because the more we humble ourselves and realize we're capable of absolutely nothing, can't even get ourselves out of a paper bag if we had to, he gets all the glory for the new man that now, or a woman that exists. Mm. So that's just stuff that's swimming in my head.
There's a lot of swimming going on. I can tell.
I'm having a little bit of an out of body experience today, because the beginning of my walk with Christ came to mind as Jack was reading, and my experience meeting Pastor Jack and the Lord walking me through the book of Romans and making the analogy between the false teaching of Islam through the righteousness of Christ in the book of Romans, and how the law will never save you and the law just only leads to sin, and that the just live by faith. And he repeated that in how it's written in the Bible in four different places. The just live by faith, meaning the justified. So we, and just our lives, we, I don't even know the next step. I mean, like from week to week, I have no idea where this is going. Like, you know, like we're going to plan a wedding party of sorts, you know, just to like a coming out party. And everyone's like, when? And I was like, I don't know.
That's going to lead me to my question, I think, but let me hold off one more second.
Yeah, no, that's it. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
But I just want to go back to something I was thinking when you said, when you talk about the gift of salvation, you're given this gift of salvation and your sins are forgiven, but that doesn't mean you can go on sinning. It's kind of like being given a pencil, and then you're given this pencil and then you just lay it down and then go back to never writing. Right. You have to pick up the pencil and write stuff for good and actually use it. Use the gift you've been given for good. Right. Not, don't use it for evil. Don't use it for anything else, but taking that pencil and writing your story and how to help others come to Christ with that pencil. Yes. I always like the visual things. That's the only way I can teach and learn. Let me first, before I ask you the question, I want to first share this with you. A friend of mine, a pastor from Friends Church, Yerba Linda, I love him and respect him. He was part of the men's groups that I was a part of. He has a book. I've been helping him a little bit. Not that that really means anything, but I actually have a good feeling about this book, and that's how I know about it. And I would like your help in bringing him to a number one bestselling author. It's called Dirt Grenades. It's a funny title, I know, but it's actually a pretty cool title, that he took a story of his father, who was also a pastor. Oh, it's actually a number one new release already.
Look at that. Good job, Ben.
I got to take a picture of that. So please buy this book today. Do me a favor, Dirt Grenades and Other Explosive Parenting Moments. And it's Kent Cranings, and I'll put the link that I used here to bring this up. I'll put it into the comments, and please just buy it. It's only $2.99 for right now on Kindle. And the reason it's only on Kindle is for this purpose of bringing it to a number one bestseller. So please help my friend with his book become a number one bestseller. It's you know, the story of him and his dad about raising sons. And it's a really good book. Hedy met Kent with me. Because he had some questions about how to launch a book, how to get the book written and the cover and all that kind of stuff. So I walked him through it, and it's launching today, and I'm so proud of him and it's already a number one, bestseller. Yay! There. So that's pretty awesome. All right. So the question I want to ask, is that, long ago I had to fight through this, and I think I'm doing better at it. I don't think it happens as much, but, I know it's not success. What's the other word I was thinking of before? Does success, or does goodness, when good things are happening in your life, does it make you nervous? Does it scare you?
Not at all. Yeah? Used to, but not at all. Okay. Not anymore. No, because
I've never asked you that question before, but I just was wondering, because we've had a series of days where God has been so fantastic.
Yes.
He's been great. But you know, it does kind of make my heart pound a little bit as to, oh, this is so good. I don't want anything to disrupt that, or want anything to mess it up. Does that ever get into your head?
Well, it's been a slightly different walk maybe for me, because yeah. I've been in the wilderness for a month. Because remember, I'm the one that's moving.
Yeah.
And so I was homeless. You know what I mean? So like literally I had no idea where I was going to put my head, you know? So it was, to me, this is not a series of good times. This is the Lord's answer to my patience. It's a completely different perspective, because I should have lost.
He doesn't have to answer your patience, but it is an answer to your patience.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my perspective is that he's like, thank you for not going off the rails. Thank you for being patient. You know, thank you for trusting that I'm in control. And this was like, here, I'm showing you I'm in control.
You know, I just pictured in my face, you know, the show that we're watching, The Chosen.
Yes.
Which is a really good series so far. I'm loving it. It's awesome. So good. The fisherman.
Yes.
Their names?
Simon.
And?
James, John, his brother Andrew.
Okay.
Yes.
Look at you.
Of course, my gosh.
You're
the disciples.
Biblical encyclopedia. Okay. But the moment where they've been fishing all night, they're exhausted. The guy's really angry. Simon's just like, I've had it. I'm getting ready. They're going to arrest me. I owe too much money and taxes and forget it. And he pulls up onto the shore and there's Jesus teaching to disciples, right? Or people of faith that want to come to faith that see him as the Messiah. And for whatever reason, you know, he pulls up right there. Like you could have pulled up anywhere, right? Obviously something drew him to that point. So, but it's the look on Jesus' face once he goes, throw the nets back in, just do it. And he goes, well, we've been out there all day. You're kidding. So they throw them out there and they load with fish. What you were just talking about that Jesus is going to thank you is more, I see that look on his face. Like he's going.
Exactly.
That look like all you have to do is have faith.
Exactly.
I told you to throw the nets and just be, they didn't have to be that patient as long as you. It was a couple seconds and it was
loaded. No, but there's people have been way more patient than me, you know, but he's just demonstrating he's in control.
So with that, my question after the follow-up question to that question about, does it make you nervous? What's the solution, to get through those? What was your solution to get through those, that month or longer of wondering what he was going to do? How did you get through it?
Praying, constantly praying for, I'm careful not to pray for things because I don't want to him to give me something because I asked for it and it not be what his will. I just keep praying for his will to be done and to make me patient and to just help me see that he's in control.
Yeah, you're better than I am. I was praying for that house.
Maybe that's why we got it.
God, give me the house. Come on.
Yeah, I don't. I'm terrified of praying for things.
Really?
Yeah.
My whole presentation was everything about that. It was pictures of that house.
Well, then maybe that's why, you know, that's what makes us a team.
Okay. I'm not that good. I ask for things.
Because I don't know. I'm afraid of the consequences.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of if I ask for something and he gives it and then later he has to look at me and be like, he asked for this.
Yeah.
You know? And I just didn't want to do that.
You wanted it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You wanted that. I was going to tell you that you didn't want it.
Like, yeah.
He kept asking for it, so I gave it to you.
Exactly.
And I guess that goes with when you're praying for people that are suffering from a grave illness. You know, you're praying for healing, but healing may mean that they take them to heaven. That may be the healing.
Absolutely.
So the healing is either or.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
So what you're praying for is less suffering.
Yes.
And that, you know, something happens. Maureen says that she learned about the Jack from us. Yay! And from being online.
That's fantastic. So,
yeah, I love that.
We love our
Hey, Laura, nice to see you. Welcome to our show. I think you've been on before. It's hard to tell. I know that you've been on the other show, but I'm not sure about this one. So I got a lot of Laura's too, friends. So I could be completely off base on all parts of it. So what else about the devotional? Did we get through, I mean, some of the important parts of the devotional? Because I'm so full of questions today.
Oh, really?
And then I want to share a little bit of Jack's message too.
Okay.
But anything about the devotional that we talked about the old man. I talked about the old man that had to go.
Yeah.
You know, moving like, from the old man to the new man.
And as I was telling Officer Abdul, there's only one kind of holiness. That's the holiness of Jesus. All the other fake holiness that we practice in New Age people do it too. It's not just Muslims who are ritualistic, but New Age people are all about like, oh, I need to be one with the earth. If I just chant enough, if I just eat healthy, I'm going to reach this state of enlightenment. Just no, you know, it's and Jack said it today too. He's like, you just surrender your life to Jesus and it's his holiness. It's his life, his righteousness that takes over. It's when you admit that you're capable of nothing but sinning,
right?
That he can work a miracle in you. So you're basically like we said, co-crucifixion is just kill it. Please just kill it. Whatever's of me, kill it.
Mm-hmm.
And leave me only with you. Resurrect me in you.
You remind me of the story of he was talking about with the stairs.
Yes.
That there's one way where you can walk up, another way where you go up on your knees. And he saw these people crying and bawling, going up on their knees.
If I could just be forgiven.
And he goes, well, I just walked up the stairs. Yeah. What are you doing?
Right.
Just ask for, just make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior.
done. Done and dusted.
What's all this other stuff you're doing? The way you told us.
Same way Mark talks about the Wailing Wall, where people are crying and putting messages in. He's like, why do you wait to come to a wall 5,000 miles away to talk to God? You know he's with you, right?
You know he's in the shower with you the other day. So one more thing I want to talk about before I go to Jack's little message here that I wanted to share is I know who it is now that was telling the story about the difference between the, you know, Christian religion and other religions was the guest pastor or guest speaker Jack had on last Wednesday or Sunday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was watching that. I go, you know, I got to go back and watch that because, you know, sometimes when Jack isn't at church, we sometimes play hooky.
Busy with kids.
I know the kids. I need your help on this because I know I don't know that much. But what they were sharing was that the Christian faith is one of the only ones that you are, you know, given your sins are forgiven, just accepting Jesus
Christ. It is the only one.
It's the only one. And then people were coming into the Christian faith back, you know, in Jesus' time, not from force, but from being taught and being shown and seeing the miracles and being told about the miracles and being told about Jesus Christ. Now he walked the earth and was crucified and rose from the dead. That it was voluntary and through sharing the word and acceptance and through faith, but not like a religion like Islam. That it was forced upon people through war and pressure.
Yes, I mean, there's a faction of Islam that spread through Southeast Asia and South Asia, India and Pakistan, that came through the mystical branch, which was similar to the sect that I belong to, through the Sufis, through this kind of universalist love notion. But for the most part, especially in the beginning of the Islamic Empire, it came through war. It came from conquering people. And to this day, now, in many, many parts of the Muslim world, faith is maintained through the sword. Very, very different than Christianity, which is, first of all, the gift of salvation. Even in Islam, Muhammad never promised salvation. Mm. He didn't promise that anybody would escape the wrath of God at Judgment Day. Nobody knew if their sins, which ones, what good deeds were accepted and which sins were not forgiven. And you had to go there and find out.
Oh. But I love learning that I mean, it's a great faith, right? And it's the one that's lasted. It's the one, I mean, a lot of them have lasted, but it's the one that is, has just changed the world.
Christ.
Yeah, Christ.
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ has changed the world. So Jack was talking about, I'm sorry. I put the link for Kent's book in the chat. And so if you wouldn't mind, again, it's only $2.99. I would appreciate it if you would do that for some reason, Resurrect Ministry. If you're watching, the link didn't look like it went through for some reason.
But then it came back a second
time. Oh, it did. Came back. Oh, there you go. Thanks. So the link is in the comments. Just click on that link. It's $2.99. If you wouldn't mind buying the book, that will help Kent, Pastor Kent from Friends Church, Yorba Linda, a really good friend of mine, have his book go number one. So he can talk more and teach more men how to be great fathers to their children. That's the book is the premise of how to raise strong boys in the Christian faith. All right, so let me get rid of this. So Jack was talking about where we have to go to share God's word, where he would expect
if you're capable. I love that he added the caveat because he's like,
hopefully I got that part. I can't guarantee I got that part, but
yeah, because it's very important that before you go out into ocean saving people, that you know how to swim.
Yeah. You know, and that kind of brings me back to a year ago. Like a year ago when I did this Facebook Live again, it's on my personal page. So if you're not there, you won't see it. But I shared the memory of me going live talking. I started off by saying this is not a religious based message, although I was talking about the Silent Saturday. The resurrection. I was trying to give myself an out of, hey, don't listen to me. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just kind of sharing something and I haven't quite worked it out and don't know all the details, but I thought I'd share something.
That's what an evangelist does.
But that's different than going into a den of wolves
and without a knife. What he's describing is if you're an alcoholic, don't go hanging out in bars saying I'm spreading the gospel. That's what he's referring to. Don't go. You've got a porn addiction. Don't be hanging out in strip parlors thinking you're going to convert the masseuses. Yeah. Like he's basically saying, be aware of what armor you have and what you don't have, and beware of your own frailties before you go choosing a mission field that will take you down.
Yep.
And we've seen a lot of pastors that are doing that. They're not living a holy life, and God will not be mocked, and the vengeance is the Lord's. So he's not going to let you play around with an anointing and meanwhile live this very corrupted life that is not honoring the gospel and grieves the Holy Spirit that's inside of you, and do it in his name. So we've got to be very, very careful about the dark places that we choose. But I love the fact that are you bringing that up?
Yeah, afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
I have something to say after this, which I think is a good place to start, which I'll talk about after this message. Okay. All right. And Amy's on. Hey, Amy. Nice to see you. Amy. She's going to have to watch the replay. Yeah, I could tell you everything that we talked about. No. All right, here we go. Oh, fire fingering. Let's see. Let me do it again. Hold on. I'm going to have to get rid of it here. You missed a whole bunch of good stuff, so I got to take it back. We're going to go. That's like right there. That was 48 something, I remember. Hold on. So sorry. Obviously, something did not get clicked that was supposed to get clicked. Let's try it one more time, because it is, I don't want to miss this point. All right. Let's try it again. When I was clicking quickly, it's a good chance that I didn't get the button clicked all the way. All right, here we go. One more time. Oops. Yep.
Gentiles, that you were grafted into the promises of God that were given to Israel. Notice they began to practice this replacement theology. The bad, bad teaching began to seep in 2,000 years ago. Oh, wait, you're a Jew? You're a Christ killer. We don't even know if you should go to this church. In fact, we don't even know if the guy can save you. In fact, we think you're cursed. And he's going to address this. And man, I tell you, here we are in the 21st century, and that's what's going on today, people. Do you know that? It is happening in the church and the earth today. And that's a wicked, evil thing. But it's happening nonetheless. And then I think a few more things before we attempt to dive into this. is look at Romans chapter 1, verses 17 and 15. We'll put it up on the screens for you. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome. Look at verse 15. So as much as it is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Paul's desire to preach the gospel in Rome was a passion of his that is mentioned numerous times in Scripture. Listen, Paul never makes it to Rome the way that he wants to make it to Rome. Paul is thinking, I'm sure. You know the missionary journeys? I'm sure he's thinking, we're just going to keep going around up through Asia Minor. We're going to go into Europe, and I'm going to eventually get to Rome, preaching the gospel. That's probably what he thought. And God had a different plan. Paul winds up getting arrested for preaching the cross and the resurrection from the dead in Jerusalem. He winds up being, listen, taken under Roman guard down to Caesarea, where he's there jailed. And then a decision is made by the Roman procurator there saying, this preaching of the gospel, Paul, it's crazy. And then Paul says, because I'm a Roman citizen, I appeal to Caesar. So he's, listen, he's taken captive and he's put on a Roman freighter and he's set sail to Rome under Roman arrest. And Paul sees Rome all right. Listen, all paid expense trip by the Roman government. Unfortunately, he was a prisoner. And he gets there and eventually Paul winds up being beheaded in Rome. And you can go, by the way, to the Mamertine prison where Paul spent his last night on earth. It's there today. You can take a tour of that. So he did get to Rome, but not the way that he thought. But he loved that thought of preaching the gospel in Rome. Why? I said it a moment ago. It was a dark place. That's what we want to do. Where should we be? Whenever the gospel was dropped into an area, like C.S. Lewis says, that God has called us to invade enemy-occupied territory. Satan has occupied God's territory. We're paratroopers who are let in to disrupt Satan's plans, right, by saving people and preaching the gospel. Okay, if that sounds thrilling to you, that's because that's the Holy Spirit.
So there's the spot. I actually ended up moving it to a different spot, but actually ended up being better than what I attended in the first time when you couldn't hear it because I didn't obviously check the button all the way. But that point that he's making of Paul wanting to preach in Rome and kind of tricking them, it sounds like he tricked the Romans to take him to Rome by saying, something about Caesar. And so he got taken there, although he got taken there in handcuffs on a boat that crashed like two or three times on the trip there. I read the whole story before another time, but he wanted to go to the place where it actually caused him to be beheaded.
Yes.
Right. Where the devil was living. And the reason I wanted to bring that up is because that is one of the places that when I was talking to Hetty about it, like I said, on the way home, we talked about what are some of our favorite points. But I talked about that story. It kind of reminded me. Now, listen, I know my head's probably not going to get cut off from doing this online. But what I started thinking about is that doing these devotionals on a social media platform where tyrants have shown that they don't like this kind of talk. They don't like truth. They don't like the gospel. They don't like, conservative Christians and conservative speech. They've been taking conservatives off. That what I kind of got from listening them talk about that is that we're using a platform that the devil actually owns.
Yeah.
And sharing God's word
by hook or by crook
on this platform.
Yes.
And so I'm sorry that I had a little silent part there to get to that point, but I wanted to share that point of what Paul went through. And again, it's just another idea that we can use. These people aren't smart enough, really, to just kind of just kick everybody off and just keep the liberals on or just keep the devil on. I don't think they have any choice. They don't know what to do. They go, if we take all these people off, then who are we going to have to sell to? Who are we going to have? So they're kind of I was going to say screwed, but I don't want to say screwed on a devotional. They're kind of screwed because here they have so many people that are growing in faith.
Yes.
Using their platforms of which they hate us.
Yes. And I think that we're doing that in a lot of spaces. I think all the Christians that are on TikTok now, I mean, TikTok is extremely demonic because it's by communist China to basically poison our children. Yeah. And it's geared towards, you know, 13, 14, 15 year olds. And then we have a bunch of Christians that are like, you know what, we need to take over TikTok, you know, posting all kinds of content, trying to flood the space, change the algorithm. Mm. I love it. It's just amazing. And it's even, and you told me this once about your Facebook posts, like you're not posting because you need the praise of your choir, of the people who believe like you, or the people that are never going to change. You're hoping to affect the people who are watching.
Yeah.
And I found that with my Christian Post articles where people are posting these pretty nasty comments in response to what I've said. But I see other Christians coming out and being like, whoa, why are you attacking what she said? This is, you know, what she's saying is true. And how could you not want to defend the country? And so there's all these people coming into the discussion. And I'm hoping, as some people have told us, wow, you've encouraged me to be bold in my faith. By watching you to kind of trying to live fearlessly. Mm-hmm. Another great example of that is street preaching. I started over a year ago going street preaching with my friend Glenn, and me and Andy went down there yesterday, and it's like, it's 20 people now. Before it used to be just me and Glenn, you know? Awesome. And so now there's 20 people, and here we are on the main grass of the, I don't know, what's that called, the pier or the main meeting station of the Laguna Beach area?
Downtown
Laguna.
Main beach.
Everybody's, you know, half naked and drinking and, you know, tattoos, and some people are cursing at us. But we're now 20 people. We've taken over the grass area with anti-abortion signs, you know, and saying babies' lives matter. And this one guy was pure fire preaching the gospel, saying, turn from sin. You know, God, Jesus loves you. He'll forgive you. And we're basically invading their space with the gospel. And that's what Jack was trying to say. He's like, don't sit under a tree preaching to a cow.
Right.
He's like, go to the cities, take over the spaces. And I think that's what a lot of us are trying to do. And I encourage more people to go do that. You know, just I saw a friend of mine from church down in Laguna Beach. I had no idea she was going every week to do these things. And so like we saw each other and we're like, wow, hi. She started to tell her friends at church. I was telling my friend at church, oh my God, I saw Morelvi, my friend at church. She's like, really? Where do you guys go? And she's like, and I'm like, Laguna. She's like, oh, you're going there too. We got to come by one day. And I mean, that's just how it spreads, because you're able to reach so many more people when you go down to the city centers. Oh, Andy took some great pictures. He was going to share some of these.
Yeah, but the point, again, both Hetty and I was trying to say, is that we can use these platforms to reach thousands of people.
Exactly.
Again, we've seen people from our show that respond from the Dominican Republic, from Pakistan, from San Francisco, and New York, and all around. And it's beginning to impact people. And again, we're using, I like to call it the devil's platform. We're using the devil's platform against them, whether it's Instagram or TikTok or what have you. Sorry, I'm having trouble finding the application. Oh, here it is. And I think that this is a very powerful thing. I never thought of it before until now, that this was a possibility. And so here is Glenn speaking there. I wish I could make it full screen, but I think that's about all I can do. I don't think I can make it much bigger. Yeah. But these are some of the pictures. There's the beach. There's him preaching.
Yeah.
Right. I got a couple close-up pictures. And tell us a little bit about Glenn. What do people need to know about Glenn?
Well, Glenn was a drug trafficker, and he ended up convicted of drug trafficking and spent over a decade in prison and actually met the Lord in prison. And he had 7 years left on his sentence, and the Lord started to tell him to write. He hadn't finished high school. I don't even know how far in elementary school he had reached. And he's like, write? Like, I don't know how to write. And the Lord just told him to write. And so he was sitting in his cell one day, and a letter came addressed to the prisoner who was in that cell before him, who was gone, released. Mm. And it was literally an outline of how to write books for the gospel in prison.
What?
Yes.
I didn't know
and
that
that's
part.
How, yes, that's how he started writing.
Oh,
and he's now, it's from, actually from David Hawking, who is a very famous eschatologist, who is actually a mentor to Jack. He speaks at all of Jack's eschatologists, all his prophecy conferences.
That's so good.
And when he gets out of prison, he writes these books, and the books, he's had over $500,000 in half a million copies of his books sold. And it's basically like the Lord has provided for him to preach on the streets, and, you know, he doesn't get paid for what he does through book sales. And it's just like the Lord has
That's
blessed
amazing.
Him in so many ways for his boldness for the gospel.
Yeah, well, it comes, you just got to take action. And like you said, you know, there's a time and place for what it is you can do and what position you put yourself in. So not to get like disappointed early by being asked too many questions you don't have the answers to, I guess. But yes. But you also have to get started. Right? What's our most favorite saying about not getting started? Analysis. Come on, you know it.
Oh, analysis through paralysis.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that was applicable. This. Yes, me. That's I'm the master of analysis through paralysis.
But I try not to talk about it.
When it comes to Jesus Christ, I try not to because we have to walk by faith. And so a lot of times the Lord just tells me to just do things. And that's when I start to negotiate sometimes.
Yep.
Some of them are very traumatic. And I'm like, are you sure, Lord? I don't really think that's such a great idea. But he always demonstrates how it's true. And
that's why I like having you on the show. I think this is what makes the show better, at least in my idea, is that I've joined with somebody that you've studied, you have great knowledge and have great recall of certain aspects of the Bible. And I think that which makes me feel more comfortable because I know where I am and my limitations. And I go, where does that come from? What does that word mean?
Well, that's very cool. I'm happy to be of help.
And so I think it makes it work. I think it shows that you can have somebody who's very, you know, childish in regard to the faith. But you know, why you need a mentor, why you need somebody along to walk alongside you. This faith was not meant to be done alone.
No. And so I'd like to talk to Adam's point where he says, Adam asks, do you think it's okay for a believer to not attend church and study scriptures on his own? I didn't have a good experience in church. Some would tell me how I can't love Jesus and be a Trump supporter. Adam, we hear you, but I would like to say, because not only Christ encourages us not to forego the assembly of the saints. And so there's something very powerful that happens when you attend worship and you attend the assembly of the saints, which is the anointing and the power that comes from the Lord from attending. So don't attend necessarily because of who's sitting next to your left or to your right, but attend because it's edifying, it supports your faith, and because God instructed us to. So I suggest you find a better church, or you find a church where your values are respected, because we go to a church with 15,000 Trump supporters that are extremely conservative. But it didn't start that way. I've been to two other churches. Actually, the last church, the church I was baptized in basically almost kicked me out because I was a Trump supporter. So I think you just need to find your home, and maybe you just haven't found your home yet, but I definitely encourage it, especially as long as it's still available. Pastor Jack was talking about how in Rome they were doing home fellowships. They didn't have an established church building. And many of us have talked about how we think that it'll eventually go back to that when the churches get banned or outlawed. I mean, look at Canada. They're already getting their doors bolted shut. So we may come to that point anyways. So I would suggest taking advantage of it while you can.
Yeah, I don't think there's nothing wrong with finding an online church until you find the church you could walk into.
Exactly.
And follow it up with this.
I find street preachers to know the Bible better than some of the pastors. A lot of street preachers are passionate about the Lord, which is great. Amen.
Oh my gosh. You know what? You have to be passionate to stand out there. Like these the two pastors that they had out there yesterday.
Yes.
I don't know if they're pastors or not, but they're
preachers.
Preaching.
Yeah, I mean, because the anointing of God comes on
with
you.
With no notes.
Nothing. That's the thing. And the Lord said, when they take you up to the courts, don't worry about what you will say, because the Holy Spirit will speak on your behalf.
Let me see if I can bring this up. Hold on. Just keep talking about that.
So and a lot of them have been saved from very, very difficult lives. I know, same for Glenn. So they are very deep into repentance and basically the importance of being holy and living holy. Oh, do you have a recording of him? Oh,
it's a short one. It's a short one. So let me go ahead and bring it up.
Yeah, this guy's awesome. Oh, I did it. I don't know what his story is. I don't know how long he's been studying the Bible, but he was just amazing. And so, Adam, I totally agree.
I didn't have the other guy, though, unfortunately, the Hispanic guy.
Oh, I thought that's what that was.
No, this is Glenn.
Okay.
Sorry. All right. A lot of steps here. Sorry, guys. I know it's well, maybe I did.
That's
maybe
what,
that is him.
That's what I thought it
was. I know. I thought I didn't have him.
What it does not show is the dead faith. The book of James says that faith without works is dead. How can you say you have faith, but you have no works?
See, we kind of took over the park here.
You cannot truly have faith. You must have a living faith. You can't be a hypocrite. Jesus Christ preached hardest against hypocrites. Turn to God today and stop living like a hypocrite. God sees all and your sin will surely find you out. Turn to God today. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell my people their sins, the Bible says in Isaiah. Turn to the Lord today, folks. Time is running out. You are being warned. Your conscience testifies to you that the word of God is true. Turn to God today and get right with God. Say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Forgive me for my sins, Lord, and set me free. The Bible says in John 8, for the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's a good stuff right there. Yeah, that guy was so good.
He really was.
And Glenn is good too. I had a video of him too, but we're at like almost an hour already. How did that happen? Oh, well, part of it was I flubbed up for like 15 minutes.
No.
And kept it going for too long. Go ahead and read Amy's there.
I was raised and spent most of my adult life in Bible-based scripture teaching churches, but I've never heard anyone more able to teach God's word than Pastor Jack. That's beautiful. Amen. Some people just have a gift. It is important to learn the Bible cover to cover as Calvary does, but some pastors are just better at it than others, I think, captivating their audiences and holding their attention.
Well, and the other part is that the willingness just to give God's word and not skip. He was talking about in Romans how they only read up to 8, I think it is.
Yeah,
Romans
they skip 8, 9, 10, 11.
And then start again, you know, and they just skip it because they think it's going to offend somebody or people are going to get scared and people are going to leave the church, God forbid.
Most churches.
And Jack said yesterday, he goes, I'm going to speak Romans. So if you're new to our church and don't like it, we'll, you know, go back to your church. Now, he didn't say in those words, but said, it's fine.
Because a lot of churches nowadays, most of them are just topical. Hmm. I want to talk about how God will rescue you. And here's a verse. And then the rest of the entire hour is them pontificating. Mm. It's 1 minute of scripture and the rest is them pontificating on life.
Yep.
And that's just not what Jack's about.
Well, I can tell you, folks, I've had a fantastic few days and it has caused some worry, I think. Right. Can I say that?
Yeah, sure.
It causes worry. Like you're going, oh, we got the thing we wanted. And now what? Like now, now what do we do? So I want to let you know that your prayers for us are being answered.
Thank you.
And are just so thankful because some of the things that we asked you to pray for have worked. If we can talk about Zara, she was trying out for cheerleading and, you know, we were just so badly for her and the transition she's going to have to make from LA to Orange County to a new school. Once again,
no friends.
She was trying out for cheer at the brand new school. And she,
which is a 2-year champion, like a double national champion in cheer. So it's a really hard squad to join. And she really did not want to. She felt self-conscious. She felt like she wasn't good enough. And I just kept encouraging her and telling her how amazing she was and trying to speak life over her. And so many people were praying for her. And she ended up making the JV team as a freshman. So
yeah. Really so good. You did a little cheer yesterday.
I did.
That was pretty exciting.
I was so.
I didn't know you had those moves in you.
Well, because one, I wanted her to have a friend group. I told her, I said, joining athletic teams provides a people that, and especially in cheer, your life depends on one another. Mm. It creates the bonds and relationships and respect around each other that you're not going to get from other 14-year-old girls. that'll stab you in the back and speak bad about you. But when you're throwing a girl in the air and she's relying on you to catch her, you better believe she's going to be a little bit better and a little bit nicer to you, because your lives are all dependent on each other.
Yep.
And you know what I mean? You grow together, you succeed together. And she has always found that her friends in her gymnastic team and her cheer team were the best of friends that she's had throughout her life. So I really, I wanted that most of all for her, is to find a group of solid kids that would be supportive, and she could be supportive of them.
Yeah. It was so nice to come home to that. They dropped off a little package at the house with a note in it.
With a balloon and candy. Yes. Oh, it's so cute.
It was so nice. So
it was adorable.
Katie called yesterday and shared that news with her. That was good. I've talked about, you guys have been praying for my health and the area of my prostate, which is kind of an odd thing to talk about in front of millions of people that are viewing right now, obviously from all over the world. But that has improved. I don't know about the cancer. I just know that I feel so good. I mean, better than I felt in years. So whatever that is, whatever that, just praying for my healing. Hopefully it would be great if the cancer had, I just don't know. I haven't had a blood test, haven't had an MRI, so I don't know what that part of it, but I can tell you, I feel a heck of a lot better. And everything works better.
That's the G-rated version.
When I go pee, what are you talking about? All right. And so there's that, the sale of your house.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sharing with you just because we have been praying and we've been so, grateful for all of you praying. My daughter, she thought she had a broken foot in more than one place, two places, and a dislocation, according to an orthopedist and a regular doctor, a practitioner. And then they said, you need to go to the emergency room now because it looks like it's really bad. So I go, okay. So I had to take her to the emergency room. The doctor goes, then I asked for all your prayers. All of you prayed. And I got there and the doctor, I got there. I don't know why you're here. There's nothing wrong with her foot. What the heck?
God is so good. Won't he do it?
And then we got an email from our other thing. I don't know if we tell people or not. Did we tell them? Got a place to live?
Yeah, we did.
We didn't never said that we got the house that we wanted.
Oh, yes.
And yesterday, or it was yesterday or day before? Yesterday, we got the email from the broker that we got the house.
Yes.
That we will all live in together as a family.
Amen. That's big news. Okay, Officer Abdul has a question.
But it's prayer, love, devotion, love them. And again, I also want to say that I am also in the realization that bad things will happen also.
They have been happening.
So yeah.
We've been just.
Yeah, but God is good.
Loving him.
Have joy.
Praise him through the mountains and the valleys.
Yes, have joy. All right, there we go. Sorry.
What would be your advice for a new believer to find a good home church? Should I read the Bible for myself? And if the pastor's preaching doesn't match scripture, then it's not a good church. Oh, that's a very good benchmark. I also invite you to check out my website, Resurrect Ministry, because we post links to pastors that I feel are quite solid while you find a home church. And that is what we use.
I was going to say, you could use those as the benchmark. Three.
Yes. So I have David Jeremiah on there, Mark Driscoll and Jack Hibbs. Those are the ones I think I feature most prominently. But line it up to scripture. If it seems like, and Calvary churches generally for the most part go book by book. And that's the best thing for a new believer, is to learn the Bible book by book. And so I highly recommend, if you have a Calvary near you, the speakers, the pastors will vary. Some are more dynamic than others, but it is best to find a church that is very strongly Bible-based and that will go, book by book, chapter by chapter, so that you learn as much as possible. And again, you also want to find it where it feels like home, that you can meet nice people. You don't have to like everybody, but at least you find one or two friends. Your children can find friends and somewhere that the best way I describe it is it feels like home. Mm-hmm. And remember, home's not always comfortable. You can fight with your relatives and stuff, but it's still family. It's still home. So that would be my advice.
And Officer Abdul, from your picture, it looks like you're in San Francisco. I don't know if that's correct. True or not.
Is that true?
I'm guessing. That seems like it would be hard to find a good church in San Francisco.
Yeah. I was trying to rack my brain to see if there's ones that I know of.
Wasn't Chan?
He used to be. Yeah, he used to be in San Francisco. Francis Chan was in San Francisco, but I don't know. He's back. So maybe he is back there. because I know he set up a whole bunch of home churches before he left. Yeah, San Francisco Bay.
Yeah, look at Francis Chan. I just say that his voice is a little whiny.
Well, yeah, because he's very emotional these days.
Yes, he's very emotional.
But as I said,
I don't mean to be critical, but his message is fantastic.
And he has set up home churches. So there are small groups of people with one leader that's trained in how to teach, and then rather than one big institution. So
yeah, he's Francis Chan is his name. You can find him online, so you can look him up and look at a couple messages. He is a pastor that's written some very good books that have made him millions of dollars, and he's not, I don't think, taken a dime.
He lives very, very humbly.
He was riding, last time I saw him here in the United States, he was still riding a moped to work. To the church. He's running like a little, you pedal it, get the motor going, and then you
not like Biden or the Secretary of Treasury.
No, nobody, they wasn't loading up in an SUV driving it to down the street from the church and him getting out. No, he actually rode it from the house the way to the place. Fantastic. Look at Amy there. Yeah. What did I do to deserve that?
No, he's really, it's the Lord doing all the work. I just sit back and enjoy the fruits of it.
Yeah. But to kind of get back to Adam, what Adam was talking about in regard to online, Abdul, I mean, really not a bad thing to watch any one of those three pastors.
Yes.
Especially Jack's message right now.
And Jack's going through the Book of Romans. Mark's going through the Book of Romans, ironically. They both are.
And it's probably not, I mean, I was told to take the road to Rome. That's what I was told. And I know you hadn't heard that before, but they gave me a bunch of passages, which is the road to Rome, I think it's called. But probably not bad place to start with Jack. He's starting a book.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, Abdul, the Lord took me through the Book of Romans because the analogy that Paul makes continually throughout the book is the Jews to the Gentiles. And so basically he's saying the people of the law are no better than the people who come by faith, and how following just law leads to sin. And so the Lord was explaining to me, this is what you experienced in Islam, where you were just trying to be obedient to law and it just made you more wretched with sin. So I think you'll find it a great book to start with. So watching Pastor Jack would be a great start.
Yeah, and just as I see officers from San Francisco from his display picture, that is a rough town. City, God bless you, Officer Abdul. Respect your serving. Absolutely.
Amen.
Adam, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, San Francisco. I used to love San Francisco so much.
Everybody,
and I don't want to put down your city. I know you've probably been there for a very long time, but it just really seems like the devil has made its way into that city. And man, I used to go there and just enjoy the heck out of it. My daughter and I would fly up there and just spend a couple days. It was such a beautiful town, but it just really seems like something dark has gone over that city.
It's terrible,
but it's too bad. But the good people of San Francisco need you, Officer Abdul. Like us, we are we have kind of wavered back and forth whether we should just join the rest and get out. But I think Officer Abdul, like us, we just say, you know, we got to fight.
Yes, and fight.
We'll lock the door when we leave. You know, let everybody once everybody's gone that you know deserves. That deserves protecting. That's really bad to say. Actually, I think Pastor Jack. Yeah, I think Pastor Jack said something like that, or one of the other pastors I listened to said that. Well, if they're not willing to save themselves. What? You know,
right.
Yeah,
it's voluntary.
They're not deserving. They're not deserving to go to heaven. They're not deserving for us to stay here and fight for them. Yeah, we're gonna stay and fight as long as God wants us to. That is what we're called to do. I think is stay here in California.
Yeah,
it's too bad.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Nancy Pelosi. Wow. Yeah, there's just so many people moving out of San Francisco. It doesn't shock me. Love you both.
We love you too, Amy. Thank you.
Was Amy on when you were talking about Robin? Talking smack about me? That you didn't like that? Maybe Amy didn't get that message. Wow, my friends, we've stayed on over an hour. We were full. I mean, today kind of just a whole bunch of stuff has just come to me today is just I'm so grateful. And I know that it seems like it should be more than that, but it's not. I just have so much gratefulness today for where I've been in the last year and a half. since I met Jesus Christ face to face in Salt Lake City. It's been amazing when I really look back at all the happenings and all the things and where I am today and what is going to happen with us.
Amen.
Hetty was talking about how she was picturing in the new house where the TV would go for us to host church. Home church.
Because I think it's coming to that. I really do. And I think I think we'll use the opportunity also to gather the kids around because we've got enough kids to have our own church. Yeah. Well, I mean, and this is totally off topic, but I just want to bring this up for any of you that have kids or young kids, because we know Bill has a young son, is the importance, and this is something I say repeatedly to my daughter, who's going through a very different walk than, let's say, Andy's kids or where she was a couple years ago. And I just keep telling her, you are a daughter of the King and the Lord Jesus Christ loves you unconditionally. All I'm asking is for you to develop a personal relationship with him, that you pray to him, you listen to the Spirit, and let him help you. There's only so much I can do to try to help you, but let him help you. And your faith doesn't have to look like mine. You don't have to be conservative to love Christ. You don't have to listen to worship music every day and blasting in your room. You could have a faith that's private and personal, but just let him help you. And so I think about that constantly for our kids, is that how do we help them develop their personal relationship? Because we don't want them living 20 years like you, you know, playing Christian.
Yep.
Right? We want them to have a real walk with Christ and all of the beauty that that entails.
And I think one last thing I just want to hit, because President Trump's name got brought up, and we understand that some people got offended by him. And so I want to tell you also that you don't have to like President Trump at all. I mean, you could hate his guts,
right?
But it's the policies of our government at that time to protect the unborn. Right.
But these are Christian values. That's what I was saying.
I know.
That's in my response to the article. People criticized me and called me a Trumpian.
Yeah, we're going
to
have a show tonight, I think, on that.
And I was like, listen, these are conservative values that existed before him and will exist after him. He just highlighted and protected them. That's why the conservative Christians supported him, not because he created these values for us. These are our values. So fight for the values, not for the man. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing. The politics over. The election's over. Okay, maybe he's going to come back. And then you have to decide whether you want to vote for him or not. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about fighting for the values of this country.
Yep.
And people have so conflated Trump with conservative that they want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
Because they're so offended by him or his polarization or his perceived injustice that they want to throw out the values with it, which is... It's demonic. It's just demonic.
It's like looking at John the Baptist as, you know, who was, you know, a nasty smelling guy who ate bugs, right? But yet brought Jesus Christ and baptized Jesus Christ. The policy of baptizing Jesus Christ is we all love that. We all benefited from that, right?
Yes.
But would we give John the Baptist a hug without our nose plugs? No.
I didn't know this about John the Baptist.
Oh, about Paul being, you know, killing Christians, right? Or is that
before?
Peter?
No, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, again, I know I've mentioned this way too often before, but I'm just going to say, do we like what he did before? Right? Do we like what Trump did before? Or do we like what his policies were after he became a Christian or became president?
Or
what
that
were
the he policies? Supported our policies. They were ours before they were his.
Yes, he was only president for 4 years. Yes. You can't blame all of humanity on President Trump.
Nor can you give him the credit for it. Protecting the unborn is Christian.
Yes.
Is a Christian value to protect the unborn.
Yes.
Jesus commands us to protect the unborn,
right.
Those that have no voice. Not Trump.
You crazy lunatics, get over yourselves. It's not about Trump.
Yeah.
But the policies, he just happened to be president when much of them were put into place.
Exactly.
You got to praise him for that. You got to love him for that. You don't have to love him as a human being.
Right.
Ugh. Amy, where were you? Weren't you watching when we talked about The Chosen? Come on. Just kidding. No, we love The Chosen. We're on season one, episode
four.
We just finished. So we're on episode five, just starting. Okay, there we go. Go ahead and read that.
Yes. I prefer Trump than the demon-possessed Biden who likes to sniff kids.
Right.
Here, Biden is creepy and Biden's policy that doesn't line up with the faith. Exactly.
So he's both creepy and he has crappy policies. Right? He's got both. Like, what? There's nothing right? to like.
It would have been better if he was just slightly creepy but had Christian values. You know what I mean? But now he's just a double right. whammy.
Hey, you got to have one or the other or both would be great. Both would be great. It's just so happened Trump didn't have both.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, after we tried, he did nothing other than a couple of tweets that were a little questionable, but none of the things that they hate about him, at least what they went down and attacked him for. Who cares? What are the policies that he's putting through? All right, we've gone too far. We've entered the Andy Falco show, which we'll be probably doing one tonight on a very dear subject of yours, which is in response to Hedia's article and some of the heat that she's getting. Now, we've learned that we're not going to probably read those anymore.
Maybe glean through.
Yeah, just for entertainment value.
Yes.
But it's impossible. You cannot change some of these people's mind with your... But again, we'll address some of it. But I think it'll be fun to talk about, to reinforce, you know, the importance of your article through the responses.
There you go.
Is really
the importance of the principles in the article, not the importance of the article, because the article is meaningless, but just the importance of the principles of the article.
I don't think it's meaningless because you are amazing. Well, and I love you.
All glory to God.
And I'll be talking about the trial really for the first time. I've waited purposefully until the prosecution got done. I've been watching. I've thought about it and I go, you know, I'm going to wait till they get done.
Oh.
And I'll explain the reason why. But it mostly just has to do that there's highs and lows of each side's period of time with their case. And so I love the people that get on and start talking. Oh, it's over now. And it's like day two of a 10-day, like, wait a minute. And I wait till tomorrow.
And I love how it demonstrates the legitimacy of our trial system. That's yes. why we do this. That's what justice is about.
Yeah.
Both sides present evidence. We get to objectively view that evidence as objective as we hope as possible with, you know, experts on both sides, testimony from both sides, so that the law and justice prevails, God willing, you know?
Yep. Yep, absolutely. So that's what we'll be talking about tonight. I'm going to put up the... Actually, you know, let's see if I can find it. Amy was asking where you can find.
Just put my name in the search function.
Oh, there we go.
It's called The Assault on White America. Yes, I use the term white and I use it loosely because that's what they call us. They call us angry white people. So it's all the way at the bottom. So I called us that as basically poking fun at that title because it's just their way of demonizing us.
Yeah, it's on the Christian Post. Thank you, Amy, for asking. It's on the Christian Post, but I put the link in directly to the article. So if you don't see that for whatever reason, go ahead and go to christianpost.com and then type in Hedia's name. I'll put her name up one more time before. So just type in Hedia.
Yes, I'm the only Hedia on there.
Hold on. There you go. H-E-D-I-E-H. So just type in Hedy in the search and you'll find her article. All right. Anything else before we take this to a second hour?
I think we've taken enough of their time on this Sunday.
Hey, you're sticking around. It's not our fault.
Maybe just because they love us too. Thank you guys.
All right. We love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. As usual, we love how this really benefits us. In so many ways, and hopefully in the fact that it benefits us, that we share enough of it that it makes an impact on you. And maybe there's something you can use from time to time or share with others. So if you think anybody else could benefit from our show, it would be great. Oh, we're running out of power on my computer, too. It would be great if you shared this out to other people and then join our podcast. That would be awesome.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Anything else?
God bless you on this beautiful Sunday afternoon.
We love you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for playing.